Happy New Year from us, Nairobi Lighthouse Church staff, all the wild bunch that we are. We just want you to know that this is going to be a great year. Thank you, Pastor Don, once again for the privilege and honor of ministering this first Sunday of the new year. Would you please stand with me to Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, and we're reading from the King James Version. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will, saith the Lord, fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, many years ago, as a young lad living in Thika with my parents and our family, we experienced an earth-shaking tremor that woke us up early in the morning with my mother screaming, wake up, lest you die in the house. Before you could say the name Jack Robinson in a New York second, we were all out of the house. And we were trembling. And neighbors were out there as well. We had grabbed whatever we could and we ran out as fast as we could. I remember a young boy inching closer to us and said these words in a very, very confessing manner, almost in tears. Akisitaiba tena, I will never steal again. As long as I live, I will never forget that day. You know, the title of my message today is Understanding Divine Shaking and Shifting. Understanding Divine Shaking and Shifting. Shaking means to move backwards and forwards, to move up or down in quick, short movements, or to make something or someone do this. On the other hand, shifting means to cause something or someone to move or change from one position or direction to another. See, the young boy in my story was so shaken that the direction of his life shifted. He changed. See, there are many places where the Bible records shakings of all kind. At the cross, when Jesus died in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and also verse 57, there was an earthquake that released all the saints that had died. They had slept in the Lord. And Jerusalem was filled with the awe and the wonder of seeing loved ones who had died walking the streets. When Jesus rose again, there was an earthquake authenticating the truth and the power of the gospel through resurrection. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 26, there was a great earthquake in the prison where Paul and Silas had been bound and many other prisoners. But I realized in reading that by the time this was over, all the chains, all the doors had been opened and loosed. God wants us free today from everything and anything that binds us. See, divine shaking and shifting means that God is involved. God is on a pursuit to fulfill his promise, his plan, and a desired goal or purpose. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, which we read earlier, different versions replaced the word desire with these three things. Number one, the desire of all nations shall come. The wealth of all nations shall come. The treasure of all nations shall come. The precious things of all nations shall come, saith the Lord. So in seeking to understand divine shakings and shifting, know the following. Number one, God seeks to bring out treasure out of trouble. God seeks to bring out treasure out of trouble. Now, from the scripture we read, of course, there was a treasure. And the treasure was referring to the wealth of the nations that King Cyrus released for the rebuilding of the temple, the new temple. But in this case, I want to talk about certain treasures that are not mentioned there. The Bible says that God shook Egypt and the world at that time with a seven-year famine, at which time Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. That was by divine design. Then Israel came to Egypt, where they grew and they prospered greatly only to fall into slavery under the hands of a king who forgot who Joseph was. Then Moses entered into the scene, saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Amazing. One of the greatest messages preached of all time. God is still looking for his people in the darkness of this world. Drug addiction, alcoholism, and every evil work and filth. He's still looking for his people today. And he's looking for a treasure out of the trouble of our lives and our times. And the first treasure I'm going to talk about is the treasure of worship. See, God desires to release us from everything that hinders our worship to him. Those that worship him, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 23, must worship him in spirit and in the power of his truth. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, and as well, chapter 8 verse 8, we read that God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they might," verse 1, "serve me," and in verse 8, "that they might sacrifice unto me in the wilderness." There's nothing more powerful than the voluntary praise and worship of God out of a pure heart. God shook Egypt to bring a shift from slavery to freedom, from slavery to voluntary service and willing sacrifice. Isn't it wonderful to do something because you want to do it and not because you have to do it, you're forced to do it? God wants to set us free so that we can offer worship to him freely, even in our wilderness, even in our difficult places, even in our difficult times. Secondly, the treasure of character. Shakings and shiftings, for the most part, serves to reveal our true character. We are told that Job trusted, Abraham believed God, Daniel prayed. But I believe the belief, that belief is qualified by action. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:8, even though Jesus was a wonderful son, he learned to listen and obey. Mark that word, obey, through all his sufferings and the things he went through. You know, the difference between Saul and David is that Saul sacrificed, but David submitted in obedience. If the Israelites disobeyed Moses' word, they wouldn't have entered Egypt. There would have been no Exodus. There would have been no shift from bondage to freedom. God desires more than our faith, our courage, and all those wonderful things that we need to have. He desires one thing, our obedience. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 says, Jesus speaking, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" I believe we can only truly serve the one we truly obey. Thirdly, the treasure of family. When God visited Egypt, his focus was not on the beautiful pharaohic pyramids of Egypt. No, guess where his focus was? His focus was on his son, his name Israel. And Exodus 4:23 says, "Let my son go, that he may worship me in the wilderness." Pharaoh's refusal led to the death of every firstborn in Egypt. God always provides and protects his family. Wouldn't you do so as a parent? Since COVID and even before COVID, the family has been the primary target of satanic agenda. Why? Because he knows that a healthy family is the antidote against every such form of social evil and injustice, such as divorce, violence, drug abuse, drunkenness, teenage pregnancy, suicide, and the like. Please note that before Israel left Egypt, God restored and secured the family. He secured the family. In Exodus chapter 12, and we have no time to read, they took the lamb for each household, a lamb per family. They ate together of that lamb, and they prayed together. And I believe there was times of praise as the blood that would protect them and deliver them was applied even on their doorposts and lintels. I want you to know that today, God's truths and values must be reflected in our homes, replacing chaos with His divine order. Someone said, home is where life makes up its mind. Home is where life makes up its mind. May God comfort, heal, and fill our homes with His glory in 2021. And finally, point number two, God does not change in the midst of change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I do not change, but remain faithful to my covenant with you. That is why, O sons of Jacob, you have not come to an end, or you are not destroyed. See, God is a covenant-keeping God. And in the midst of change, there's one thing that never changes. He never changes. He's the same, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This gives hope to our generation, children, teenagers. There is hope. Why? Because He's a God of generations. And He says, I will be with the sons of Jacob. That's another generation. God wants you to know that in the midst of cultural changes, as I finish, we must continue to live by the standard of His word and uphold a kingdom culture, not a worldly culture. Secondly, so in the times and in the midst of social changes, social distancing, we don't have to worry. He abides with us. He lives in us. In Him we move, live, and have our being. You cannot separate us from God. God's grace, by God's grace, we have unlimited access to His throne, even during lockdowns. In the midst of our changes and changes, economic changes, hard financial times, increased debt and unemployment everywhere, inflation is going up, business closures, mergers of all kinds, banks are merging to strengthen their bargaining power, increased taxation, shifts from one business to another, people are finding jobs they never did before. And as we move towards a cashless and even digital society, I want you to know, saints of the Most High God, Paul encourages in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He also qualifies in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 8 and says, oh, you know, heaven's economy has not changed. And I want you to hear this. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know, in the midst of institutional changes and challenges in the industrial sector and every other sector, when we talk about health, education, people don't know what to do anymore. Oh, God help our doctors and our patients. God help our teachers and our students. And we have our transport industry and aviation industry, the insurance, and every other area you can think of. We need to see the hand of God. I want to ask you a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And finally, even in where political changes are concerned, all over the world we see unrest, dissatisfaction due to corruption, greed. We see nepotism, racism, bureaucracy, you know, poor governance. We see leadership problems. I want to give you this last part in short. In Isaiah chapter 9, in the Amplified verse 6 says, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Mighty Prince of Peace. And He says in verse 7, and of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Amen and amen. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for bringing out of our lives, even in the midst of trouble and shakings of all kinds today, the treasures of praise and worship, our obedience, the treasure of obedience. And as we draw close to Your heart and You draw us to Yourself, touch our families and fill our homes with Your glory and protection in this new year. May our eyes always be on You and not on our circumstances. Help us navigate safely through the challenges and the changes of life, for You are the God who never changes. Amen and amen. And as we conclude now, let me encourage you to put God first in your life at the beginning of this year, 2021. He is a rock of salvation. And I know He can hold your life together no matter what life brings your way. If you're willing to give your life to Him or to know more about Nairobi Lighthouse Church, please text us or call the number on your screen. God bless you all. Have a great year.